So welcome to those of you I didn't get to say welcome to earlier. It's good to have you with us. And just a reminder, if you haven't had the opportunity to pick one up, please do pick up a palm cross. Today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of our observance of Holy Week, hence the veiled cross at the back, as we are reminded of this most solemn part of our church year. But I'm not going to start off solemnly this evening, because if you ever expect a kind of summary dismissal of all things to do with wine in Scripture, today is not the readings for you. Both our Hebrew Scriptures and our parable of Jesus taken from the Gospel of Luke have vineyards as the central character. And though there is some judgment within these passages, none of that judgment is upon what happens in vineyards. Quite the contrary, a fruitful vineyard is celebrated. Hooray! Just saying. Drunkenness, on the other hand, I could go into great detail on using bits of Scripture, and it's significantly less approved of. Including singing at the gates, if I remember correctly, in this evening's psalm. Anyway, the texts for today, there is a lot to them. It's kind of obvious why they've been compiled for this Palm Sunday as we lead into this Holy Week. Those who compiled our church reading scheme, which is called the lectionary, which goes through a three-year cycle, very obviously chose the readings for today to start us on this journey of Holy Week. The story of the vineyard owner, whose tenants beat every worker who goes to collect the rent, then who sends his son, who is killed by the tenants, whose blinding lack of logic seems to suggest to them that they think they might inherit the whole place after they murder the son. Okay? It's kind of obvious, though, that this reading is chosen as Jesus is rejected and murdered, though not by the tenants as such, but a collusion of the tenants and the temporary hostile takeover management. I'm pretty sure this story is a very deliberate link to our Hebrew Scriptures, a link on Jesus's part, that reading from Isaiah, which in poetic and powerful and mournful terms is a response to the faithlessness and injustice which besets Israel and which God then speaks judgment on. Before I go on, though, I must say something. At this time of year at which shades of Christian anti-Semitism float around, sometimes just out of reach and sometimes way too close for comfort. Again and again, we hear and read in accounts of the passion narratives that, quote, the Jews conspired to kill Jesus. And that's exactly what the texts do say. Texts written by mainly Jewish writers who had been excluded from their Jewish communities by their change of allegiance to following the way of Jesus. This early sect of Christians who broke from Jewish tradition were indeed persecuted and vilified in the synagogues. So their accounts of the life and death of Jesus do contain both implicit and explicit, conscious and perhaps unconscious sentiments that are anti-Jewish. And we must be aware and beware of picking that up for ourselves. Centuries of misuse of this story, and indeed of those texts that we heard this evening, have resulted in pogroms, persecutions, and all kinds of anti-Semitic horrors, which have been done in the name of the church, and with the rallying cry, "The Jews killed Jesus." We cannot let that pass by, nor be profoundly shamed, nor can we help but be profoundly shamed by it, nor can we allow it to happen again. When Jesus and the writer of Isaiah give these stories, they're not coming from a place of hatred. When Jesus speaks this parable today, he does not hate his own Jewishness. Many commentators would say that Jesus had no intention of creating a separate belief system from Judaism, but was more of a reformer than he was a breakaway preacher. In fact, his teaching and preaching were entirely within the continuity of Jewish thought of the time, and that stretched back hundreds of years. And many Jewish teachers contemporary to Jesus were from the records we have saying very similar things to that which Jesus said. But I digress. What we have from both Jesus and Isaiah today are criticisms from within, not judgments upon and from without. The aim of these stories, as harsh as they may seem, are to bring the hearers up short in considering their own place in the wrongdoings of Israel. Isaiah, like all of the prophets in the Hebrew tradition, reminds the people of their calling to faithfulness, to living out the justice and the compassion of the law, and points to their shortcomings. Jesus continues this tradition of critiquing the way in which those who know what is right persist in doing what is wrong, even to the point of destruction and death. For us, the purpose of these stories, though they do indeed lead us into our Holy Week observances, is again to call us to consider what we are doing that is equally destructive. Not as individuals, because very little of our scripture is ever applied to individuals, but as a society, as a culture, as a world. These are words of judgment on communities who oppress and exclude the poor. Not just by individual attitudes, but by the systems and institutions which perpetuate injustice. Like many of the illustrations in our scriptures, these images are rooted, pun intended, in natural imagery. Because injustice always plays out in our relationship to the land that we are called to steward. In both our readings, we can glimpse at the judgment on those who do not care for the earth and whose destruction will result. In a world of climate crisis, of vast inequalities and inequities, of institutional racism, misogyny, transphobia, homophobia, and more, these stories remind us of our essential task of proclaiming, living, and making justice for God's sake. For in the end, injustice benefits none and is a place of death and destruction, not the life and liberation that Christ proclaims. Amen.